The text that we will be meditating on this morning is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 to 28. And let me read that for us today. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each is in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. And then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted for who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who puts all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Over these past few weeks, we have heard and sought to apply the teaching of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church in our discipleship, personally and as a community. Especially as Paul addressed how we worship together as a community of faith, in presenting ourselves to God and to one another, the observance of communion, and then spiritual gifts, which are covered in chapters 12 to 14. In our chapter today, specifically verses 20 to 28, which I just read, Paul presents the why we worship, not only the what and the how. The point of worship and the gifts of the Holy Spirit is so that the body is empowered to join God in his redemption plan for all of humanity based on the triumphant reality of Christ's resurrection and its implications for our lives. Can we have an amen? Can we have an hallelujah on this truth? It is a message that fills us with hope, an assurance, and a renewed sense of purpose as we understand the far-reaching scope of Christ's victory over sin and death. Paul begins by affirming Christ's resurrection, stating, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Christ's resurrection is not merely a theological concept, but a historical reality. Here, Paul emphasizes that Jesus' resurrection was not an isolated event, but the beginning of a much grander plan. God essentially has the power to overcome death. And in the resurrection of his Son, Jesus becomes the first fruits, the guarantee and foreshadowing of the resurrection to come for all believers. Said another way, the resurrection of Christ validates God's divine power and offers us the assurance that death is not have the final word. Paul continues, "For as by man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." The disobedience of Adam that's recorded in Genesis brought sin and death into the world, affecting all humanity. We see it every day. We know this in our hearts. But through Christ's obedience and sacrifice, sin has been defeated. It does not overcome those who call Christ our Lord and Savior. Christ's resurrection undoes the consequences of Adam's fall, offering us the way for our reconciliation and restoration. In verses 23-24, Paul unfolds the order of events pertaining to the resurrection. We will find immense comfort and anticipation in knowing that just as Christ was raised victorious over sin and death, so as Christ's followers, we also will experience victory over sin and death. We are not powerless. We are not powerless nor helpless to overcome sin and death. Indeed, we are powerful or empowered, as we usually like, we searched the Greek word a couple of weeks back, dynamis or the dynamo. We are filled with this energy, just as we have BC Hydro and the water that is generated, the energy that's created in us. That's empowered by the Holy Spirit. The living water who lives in us generates this immense power to be overcomers. And then finally, Paul affirms the ultimate triumph and restoration brought about by Christ's reign. He proclaims, "For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Every power and authority in all creation will be subjected to the reign of Christ." In other words, all that we see today is not that what it will always be. That under God, in Christ, he will restore what we see today as brokenness, heartache, sin, death. But the question remains for us today, as Christ followers, if you call Jesus your Lord and Savior, does God reign in our hearts today? That is the first thing we have to ask ourselves. Does God reign in our hearts today? Paul concludes with the glorious truth that God will be all in all as he reigns supreme over all creation. God is not interested in abusing his power to control our lives, but instead to work for our God and well-being. And this is the amazing thing about our God, isn't it? If you're a student of other world religions like I have, you will know that this is the difference that Jesus makes. That our God whom we follow is not a God who abuses his power for his own entertainment, but rather uses his power for our good and our well-being. God loves you. God cares about you. He wants to give you purpose. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He's merciful to us. Our role is to follow, listen, and obey with confidence in the resurrection hope that we say we believe in. Dear brothers and sisters, the passage from 1 Corinthians 15, 20-28 reminds us of the foundational truths of our faith. The resurrection of Christ and his victorious reign. Through his resurrection, Christ conquered sin and death, offering us the assurance of our own resurrection. Let us live in the hope of this glorious truth, acknowledging Christ's reign in our lives and over creation until God's ultimate plan is fulfilled. God has a plan. He knows what he's doing. And as his people, we follow. Scripture says, God's people know his voice. Do you know God's voice today? Are you listening? Are you hearing? May this truth strengthen our faith, inspire our worship, and guide our lives and our community as we eagerly await the return of our victorious Lord.